at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We try to face, discuss, and communicate about issues that I believe have a very, very clear central biblicist, if you please, viewpoint, our biblicist approach that we need to recognize it as Christians and talk about these issues based on morals, ethics, and values that we find in the Word of God. And also, we are a nation of laws. We have a constitution. And in that constitution we have the parameters of all that we do in America that we say should be a nation of laws. Part of those laws deal with borders. If there are no borders, you're not a nation. If you have no immigration qualifications and requirements, you're no longer a nation. We want to talk about that today, but the issue is simply this. Is birthright citizenship constitutional? Is birthright citizenship constitutional? Now, I'd love to hear from you. If you think birthright citizenship is constitutional, tell me where. Tell me how you derive at that determination. And if it is not constitutional, how should we then live? What should we do? What should be our response? Especially, what should be our response as conservative Christians in America today? How should we respond to it? This has boiled to the point that is now before the Supreme Court. Supreme Court has already heard oral arguments from both sides, pro and con. And sometimes in either June or as late as October, the Supreme Court's rendering a decision. My prayer is that the Supreme Court will stay within the four corners of the Constitution, not going outside the four corners of the Constitution. And that rationale is based on the interpretation of the 14th Amendment. What does it say? Does the 14th Amendment allow birthright citizenship in America? I believe it is a question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered appropriately. And as we face the issues, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Truth is what we're looking for. Truth is the ultimate answer. Truth is the ultimate goal. Truth should be the ultimate ambition and aim. An attitude, especially for Christians, moral, ethical individuals, and those that are conservative patriots also. Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factual today. This is the reason this issue has so much sway and power, and it ought to have in our nation. I'm looking at the headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. So, when we ask the question, what is truth? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Well, we ask the question, what is truth? We find in John 17:17, the Bible says, thy word is truth. Well, we look at Psalms 117:2, we find the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. That's a pretty good length of time. We're looking at the word of God that is the truth book that endures forever. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you today, I believe it's time that we, as Christians, get back to the fundamentals of truth. Stay away from the peripherals with the Marxist media argument, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats argument, that basically there's no centrality to the truth, that it's however you want to view it, whatever you want to say. We're torn apart as a nation today. We're divided as a nation today as a result of a lack, L-A-C-K, of standing for truth. And it, Matthew 12:25-26, Jesus warns that a divided nation, a divided home, cannot stand. And I am fearful of what we're seeing today in our nation. We're pretty much divided, not just based on ethnicity, not just based on denomination, not just based on political determinations, but we're divided as a nation. And that division seems to be getting wider and wider. And I'm concerned about the standing of America. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. You say, where is that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier on the campus of Tools for a Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment for a brief monologue. Then we'll open our telephone lines and ask you to call in and join in the dialogue and discussion. Lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we must ask the question, just what makes a nation? America has borders, but under the Biden administration, ladies and gentlemen, if there are no borders, no laws controlling the borders, what happens to a nation? There are no borders with the Biden administration. During the Biden administration, America had approximately, I've heard different numbers, I'm not counting them, I'm just simply rounding it out, America had approximately 25 million illegal invaders come into our country. These invaders were provided with all the benefits, if not more, than the citizens in America. For example, all of these invaders, illegal invaders, crossing the borders, some with children, some expecting a child, some coming really seeking refuge from danger, etc., but coming without proper authority. You know, there's, at your home and at my home, we have what's called the front door and the back door. If you want to come into my home, you come in the front door, generally speaking. If you want to come into America, you come in the front door. And that's through the legal immigration process. But these invaders came in at the behest, the invitation, and the approval of Sleepy Joe, Auto Pen, Biden. They got free medical care. They're getting free education, free supplemental housing, food, even cell telephones, and benefits that most hardworking Americans do not have and cannot afford. Today, ladies and gentlemen, courts, wicked bias with Marxist judges are blocking the deportation of millions of these invaders. President Trump's been attempting to, do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, at the present rate of deportation and removal from American soil, the illegal invaders, at the rate that they're being removed today, because the courts, because the orders to stop the, how would you say, small men in black robes in a small courtroom in a small county with a small jurisdiction, ordering our president, the executive order, what executive office, what he can do and what he cannot do. We're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, is presenting multifaceted problems as a result of these invaders and the court saying no. At the rate that they're being deported today, about 100 years, we'd be able to eliminate them all. That shows the absurdity of what's happening with our nation. We have these invaders coming in. They refuse to assimilate. They refuse to be a part of America. They want their own flag being hoisted. They want their own language. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be honest with you, I get perturbed when there are those that want to have their own church in America. You know, the Palestinian church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you come to America, if you want to be an American, you come through the front door, you become legal citizens, and then you're afforded the rights and the privileges of our Constitution. And when you want to worship, in my most humble opinion, you worship as an American, not as an island from your nation that's called your church with your language, and you're literally spitting in the face of the American flag, the American Constitution, and where we stand as American citizens. Many of these invaders, ladies and gentlemen, are Islamic jihadists. Most of these invaders are unwilling to do anything that would be called assimilate. They just want to isolate and demand their rights, whether it's constitutional, whether it's legal or not. We're finding that all over Minnesota. We're finding that today in New York City. We're finding that today in Michigan. We're finding that today in parts of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, it is moving like a juggernaut across our nation, and it will undermine America. It will destroy the constitutionality of our constitutional republic called the United States of America. Listen, demographers have already told us that by 2030 we'll be an Hispanic-speaking nation. The same demographers in 2009 said that by 2040 we will be an Islamically controlled United States of America. This massive immigration without control, ladies and gentlemen, is bringing America to the point that we will no longer be a sovereign nation. Look at New York City. Look at the state of Michigan. Look at Minnesota. What's happening now in Texas, where the Islamics have targeted these places, states, for takeover. But the problem, ladies and gentlemen, that we see today is that we're losing the battle. Today we are called to believe that somehow, some way, birthright citizenship is constitutional. That, ladies and gentlemen, that's a false banner. That's not what the Constitution says. In America, we have constitutional privileges for U.S. citizens. So I want us to examine today the premise for a movement that citizens are those that come in. Listen, if you were to go to China and have a baby, that baby would not be a Chinese citizen. If you were to go to a multitude of other places, Russia, you can have all the babies you want to in Russia. They will not be Russian citizens. You can have a baby in North Korea. Islamic nations, you can have babies. You can have babies in Japan, Saudi Arabia, etc. And they will not become citizens of those nations. Why is that so? Because they do not have what we are supposed to believe, birthright citizenship. Somehow, some way, we have perverted the letter of the law, and we are doing it on the basis, and we'll get to this during the course of the broadcast. How should Christians respond? How should moral, ethical believers respond to this movement today? Should we embrace it? There are a number of the progressive, woke denominations that say that, oh, the Bible says we need to treat the illegal alien, we need to treat the foreigner, embrace them, etc. We're going to look at some of those biblical texts shortly. We'll talk about what they say, what they do not say. We're going to look at the biblical record of what took place back in the Old Testament with the foreigners and how they came into nations and how they were treated and what the Bible said and what is the difference in that and our citizenship in America. I'm going to read one headline, two brief paragraphs, then we'll open our telephone lines. Nearly 6 in 10 Americans support limiting birthright citizenship to children of the U.S. as citizens and legal permanent residents. Most Americans support limiting birthright citizenship. A new Rasmussen report poll revealed 59% of Americans now support restricting automatic U.S. citizenship to children whose parents are either American citizens or legal permanent residents. For years, millions of Americans have expressed concern about the pressure created by uncontrolled mass migration, particularly in border states. The idea that anyone born on U.S. soil automatically becomes a citizen, regardless of the legal status of the parents, has become a symbol of a system that many see as outdated and easily exploited. The survey exposes the reality that the political elites frequently ignore. Ordinary citizens want order, not chaos. They want their laws respected, their resources protected, and their national identity preserved. This article reads, finally, conservatives lead the demand for change. Even a significant percentage of independents and a notable few Democrats recognize that birthright citizenship, as currently applied, has created loopholes that encourage abuse. Growing frustration with policies that appear to reward illegal entry and place an unsustainable burden on schools, hospitals, and social services. Limiting birthright citizenship is increasingly seen as a radical proposal by some, but as a step toward restoring order and reaffirming national sovereignty, priorities that resonate strongly with voters who believe that a nation without borders eventually stops being a nation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in agreement with that statement, and I believe they're saying 6 out of 10. I believe that number is actually more than that. That's against this automatic citizenship for those that come in and give birth to a child. They are not citizens. They come in and give birth. They claim citizenship for the child. Then the child, through what is called chain migration, can get mom and dad, aunt, uncle, brother, sister, all the family members, extended wherever they may be, around the globe, can bring them in and get them citizenship. There's a problem with that. What does it do? It destroys America's heritage and destroys America as a nation. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I have got 3 points. One is on the 14th Amendment. The second point is a biblical verse. And the third point is an example, a current day example, that very much happened here in the United States that will corroborate the first and the second point.
Let's go.
The first point. Let's go. The 14th Amendment. The progressives have been using this about the birth part. What they fail to bring in account is the little word in between both of the statements. The first statement says a naturalized citizen. The little word that's in there says and. The second part of that says under jurisdiction. Now, what they're doing is they're lying very subtly. They're using the word jurisdiction in the same manner that you would use the word, okay, I live in Duval County, so I'm under the jurisdiction of the Duval County Court. In the case, whenever Sam Trumbull in 1866 passed this amendment there, it had to do with jurisdiction, meaning allegiance to the United States. So you had a two-part statement. It's like saying, I want a blue car with a VA. Anything else does not matter. So you've got a naturalized citizen. They know the laws. They understand the laws. They follow the laws. They speak the English language. They have a child who then owes allegiance to the United States. The biblical verse that supports this is Exodus 12, verse 47. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. So in other words, even the biblical times, they wanted the individuals that lived within the Jewish nation to follow those laws, and that included the worship of Jehovah, God. So they were warned before they left, had their wanderings, to come into the land there, not to mix with the people thereof. Very strong warning there. Everybody knows about Joshua. Now, let's get into the example and how it can create chaos within the United States. Two Chinese just committed a felony crime. One of them made it back to China. China will not extradite one of their own. One of the things that the Chinese are doing to promote their hegemony here in the United States is they're doing what they call U.S. citizenship birth trips. Mm-hmm. They have pregnant mothers come over here. They give birth to a child. Neither of the parents are naturalized citizens of the United States. And the child cannot bear allegiance to the United States. So they go back to China. They raise up this child. The child comes back over here. He can commit all kinds of chaos. He has no allegiance to the United States. If he gets back to China, he cannot be exported. Even the individual that is backing Antifa and sending millions of dollars over here to create anarchy, it was his name, Neville Singham,
yes.
He lives in Shanghai, U.S. citizen. The Chinese government will not even extradite him if the United States wanted him for sedition or treason. And that right there is, in a nutshell, whenever somebody is telling you, oh, well, they were born here, they have the right there, they're only looking at the second part, and then they're only looking at the other parts of the Bible that says treat the stranger among you fairly. Mm-hmm. And they're not looking at the whole picture. That's my rant.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions, Jim. It brings to my mind. I'm looking at an article that says, in 1884, in another case, Elks versus Wilkins, when citizenship was denied to an American Indian because he owed immediate allegiance to his tribe and not to the United States. So simply put, and there's several other points in that article on there, you're perhaps familiar with that. If this is supposed to be based on just being born in America, why is it that Indians, when that case came up in 1884, why didn't it apply to them that their children were automatically citizens of the United States? Why is it they were considered as non-citizens because they owed their allegiance to the tribe and not to the United States? Talk about that.
Well, what had happened there is a lot of the Indian tribes or Indian nations, let's mm-hmm. get that correct,
yep.
had individual treatises with the United States government and that still stand in existence today. Even our Seminole tribe here in the state of Florida, they can operate a gambling casino, but you or I couldn't go and open a gambling
right.
casino here
mm-hmm.
in Florida. So this individual treatise says that they are a nation unto themselves within the United States, and if you are an individual that belongs to that, the Seminole Nation, Cherokee, whatever Indian tribe it is there, your allegiance is to that. Now, a lot of these individual Indian nations are allowed to have tax deferments there. A lot of them get a check from businesses that occur on what they call treaty-seized lands. And I think it was the 1892 act that kind of made, you know, okay, they still have the benefits of their nation, their Indian nation, but they are also now citizens of the United States. And that was much later on. But basically, in a nutshell, that's what was happening with that particular case.
And it was in 1924 when Congress passed the Indian Citizenship Act. But
yes.
Here's the point. Why did they have to pass a law in 1924 called the Indian Citizenship Act if the 14th Amendment already covered it?
Because the 14th Amendment did not cover that. The 14th Amendment only covered those that were taken from their native lands, brought here via slavery, and then were freed by the Emancipation Proclamation there, and their children. And it also addressed the issue of foreign nationals, like, let's say, diplomats, businessmen, or something like that. and they come over here. And then the other part of the address was, if you were an American citizen and you were a mother and a father and you were over in France and you had a child. So the child, even though the child was born in France, the child is still an American citizen. So they were addressing those issues there, and they weren't really addressing the Indian nations at that point.
Absolutely.
But it still comes down to the and, that little word and in there. You got to meet both.
Well, it says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens. Pretty good statement,
yes.
The little conjunction and that's found in there.
Jim, yes, sir.
One question before we let you go. U.S. Supreme Court's already heard the arguments. Three wacko women on the Supreme Court simply asked questions, and I watched most of those in the dialogue. I've gone back and read the questions and answers for the most part of the dialogue and discussion before the U.S. Supreme Court. And those three wacko women, I can tell you how they're going to vote. They're going to vote that the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, applies fully. And in my opinion, they're going to try to split the baby and say that those that already birthed here are automatically citizens, and then we need to analyze those in the future with some kind of analysis that would modulate or change it. I believe we're going to have a 6-3 decision about that. What are your thoughts about the future? Because we need to be concerned. We need to be interested. As Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to recognize that we're about to see a tectonic change in America if the Supreme Court rules incorrectly on the 14th Amendment. And let's be honest about it. It's a ruling. It is a decision on what does the 14th Amendment say. When it was written, what did it mean, and how does it apply? And they're analyzing, the Supreme Court, analyzing the term, what does it mean, jurisdiction? What are your thoughts on where this is headed?
I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're 100% correct there. I believe they're going to kick that can down the road. I believe that they're going to look at jurisdiction in the modern terminology, and they're not going to look towards the precedent that was already set from previous, I think, almost four major cases that were brought before the Supreme Court between 1866 and, like you said, 1924. I believe that they're not going to consider that. I do believe that you're correct that three of those individuals will vote just not even without any consideration. I hope that they get a majority like you were wanting there, and it is the correct rendering, but I believe they're going to do what you said. They're going to do some kind of backroom deals with each other to kick the can down the road, offer amnesty, and at the same time ignore the entire issue. I'm not confident in
I believe that, and I have very little confidence in the three wacko women, especially when one of them can't even tell you what a woman is, how are they to discern what the Constitution is, and what does the 14th Amendment say. I don't have any confidence that they can rightly divide and understand truth. So we need to keep praying as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. Jim, thank you so
Amen.
Much for your call today and for your compliment to what we're doing on this broadcast. Have a blessed day. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, we'll start your conversation and hold you over until after the news.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jim was dead on point. I was going to say about the same thing, especially, but I think the Supreme Court can make a suggestion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really can't overrule, but they're supposed to just make a suggestion. Give their opinion, should I say it like that?
Well, you're exactly right. The Supreme Court cannot make law. The Supreme Court cannot make foreign policies. The Supreme Court cannot develop what the president should do, should not do. They can make a suggestion or render an opinion. And it's my prayer that someplace down the road, that when they make an opinion, if it's the wrong opinion, that our president, President Donald J. Trump, will say, that's your opinion, now go and enforce it. I believe it's time that we take a stand on Constitution, on biblical rights and biblical privileges, and stand stand with that and run with what God would have us to say and do as moral, ethical people. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news right after the news break. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.